Stafford going to the end zone, reaching up and making the grab. Odell Beckham Jr. Stafford buys time. Protection is good, and so is the pass. Henderson came out of the backfield. Jefferson in motion. Henderson, nice cutback. Stafford rolling and throwing. Caught, caught, touchdown. Stafford caught on the run. Caught. Who else?
Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode of East Coast Rams. I am your host, Ashton, with my awesome co-host, Zach, and a special guest, Ramzilla. How are you doing, man? How is everything going? Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, why you like the Rams?
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. Ashton, Zach, thank you so much for letting me jump on the call. Definitely a longtime fan, been a fan since 79. I was 4 years old. My mom happened to show the movie called Heaven Can Wait to a church group of youth. And in that movie, it's centered on the Rams winning the Super Bowl and the Rams quarterback. And I just absolutely fell in love and have been a fan ever since. I'm a former offensive lineman, played in high school. And so I have a soft spot in my heart for the O-line and the trenches. I truly believe it all starts up front. And I played catbacker or strong safety for Weber State University, which is in the Big Sky, which is where Jonah Williams came from, who just had a sack and a TFL in this preseason game. And it's also the Big Sky where we find Cup, McCutcheon, and Hardy. So thanks for having me, guys.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely want to thank you. And remember, guys, if you ever want to be on the podcast, we definitely want to have more like involvement from fans, from a lot of people on Twitter. That hit me or Zach up. We'll definitely love to have you guys on. And let's kind of dive into our topics. We're recording this right now at 11 o'clock, so we're an hour into the Texans and Rams game on Friday Night Football. So we'll kind of comment on that a little bit if anything crazy happens. But in general, it looks like the Rams are doing great. Let's go ahead and kind of dive into the preseason game against the Chargers. Let me go to you, Zilla. What was your initial reactions to Rams v. Chargers? The Rams end up winning this preseason game. The Chargers, very similar to Rams, didn't really have a lot of starters in. They had a few second stringers play some snaps, but for most part, it was third stringers versus third stringers. What are your reactions and who stood out to you and who kind of disappointed you?
Yeah, absolutely. So up front, I mean, I was really pleased with the defensive line and the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, we're playing vanilla defense against a vanilla offense, but, you know, you can't, doesn't matter what play call you make, you got to win the trenches. And I felt that the D-line definitely did a great job against the Chargers. I really pleased with our secondary. Obviously DK did a great job. Almost had that pick six, super, super excited for him. And on the offensive side of the ball, you know, we did have some struggles on the offensive line. You know, Bruss had his quote, welcome to the NFL moment, which resulted in a sack of Perkins. But Perkins' athleticism just really showed through, and you know, his ability to create plays, and that's something McVay talks a lot about, is the ability to generate plays when things just don't go right. So definitely pleased with them, and excited to see what he does in the second half against the Texans.
What about you, Zach? How are you feeling about the team and the players from last week's game?
No, I'm feeling pretty great about this. You know, I'm going to focus on the offense because I think that's really where that's where I find the most fun of it. I'm not concerned about our defense at all. They played a pretty good game last week. But, you know, going with Perkins, starting off with him, you know, 17 for 10 completions, 133 yards, two touchdowns. He had the nice 60 long pass to McCutchinson. And, you know, and he even had a 39 yards rushing. He led the rushing, which is always fun to see in an offense. So, you know, I was really excited when we got the news this week that he was there was actually going to be somewhat of a competition, at least in this game, where Wolford was going to have to, you know, at least prove at least a little bit that he deserves that QB2 spot. And I'm, you know, I'm with Ramzilla. I'm really excited to see how Perkins comes into the second half and see if he does outshine Wolford.
Yeah, I'll just hit off of a little bit of both where you guys went. McCutchins, he looks fantastic for undrafted rookie. I really hope he makes it onto the team and he gets a chance to really really stick onto this roster, because I don't think he's gonna make it through waivers if we have to cut him. Not a chance. He'll get picked up. Perkins, I won't say he had a great game. I would say he had a good game, and he looked a lot better than he did last year in the preseason. Really enjoying his athleticism. His deep ball, he even had one really good deep ball, and there was the other one that was kind of bad. So he has to get that down pat if he wants to be the second stringer and try to get an advantage over Wolford in that kind of area. And then let me talk about our rookie DBs, because Dakobe Durant looks good, but I tried to tell people, because when I got to watch 3 years of Darian Kendrick, because I'm a Georgia fan in college football, and that kid is electric. Or he was at Georgia, I believe, for his last year. I forgot where he was 2 years before that, but he was electric, especially last year. Just, he isn't the fastest corner, even in college football. He wasn't the fastest, but he had great instincts, great ability to play on the ball, and we saw him almost, like Ramzilla said, get a pick six last game, and I think you're going to continue to see him play, and I think he has a chance of climbing up this depth chart very fast. All right. Well,
I agree with that 100%. You know, I did like this. I liked what the defense was doing. They were playing on the ball. They were staying with it. You know, I think the only problem that we kind of really saw was, you know, with Terrell Burgess and his covering and his, you know, some of the mistakes he made, you know, for him being there for, you know, being on the team for a while, you know, someone who we thought was going to be, you know, that, you know, secondary player for them. It just, he's showing some weakness there.
Yeah, I was going to ask Ramzilla, who is like the biggest disappointment from the week one preseason game for you? Because our entire O-line kind of struggled, if you want to go that direction, especially in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to speak ill of you know, certain individuals, but, you know, you have Bobby Evans, who's been there likewise for quite some time. You know, love Bobby, but has just struggled. And, you know, it's been ongoing. You know, even some plays during the playoffs back in 2020, you know, he was thrown into the fire, and
there
was
he start in 2019?
He did start at least in the playoffs as a result of some injuries, but
I think he started a few games in 2019.
Yeah, again, as a result of some injuries, yes, he did. Yeah. So he, you know, I would hope that at this point we would see some progress. And even tonight, unfortunately, You know, we're seeing some deficiencies from his game that you wouldn't think you'd see at this point.
So what's your take on how Logan Bruss has shown to us so far? Like,
you know, I'm not completely shocked. You know, this is the big boy game. You better put on your big boy pants. And he absolutely got trucked. I mean, he got steamrolled last week, and thereafter you did see improvement. You know, and at that guard spot, you are relying on your tackle who's next to you, your center who's next to you, and making sure that the right protection calls are called. And frankly, even tonight, some that look like might have been his fault, I don't think they were. I think it was protection calls. You know, again, you don't have the starters in there, you know, making those types of calls. So I think he has the ability, the physical attributes to absolutely do well. And it's just going to take some time. You know, as you've seen in the McVay, you know, organization, he hasn't started a lot of rookies. And even some of these, you know, David Edwards, even Allen, you know, even Havenstein back in the day, and Noteboom, perfect example. You know, weren't thrown into the starting role immediately, but now are. So I would give him time. I think he's definitely somebody that could develop. And you have Big Wit, who has praised him and who himself is coaching him up. I definitely know this. He's coachable, and he's going to improve every day.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's a lot of the jitters. I mean, you know, I was watching I've watched the first episode of Hard Knocks, and, you know, you see Aiden Hutchinson get, I mean, it was during practice or whatever, but he just got smoked by their tight end, like just laid him on his back. I mean, he's the number one, two overall pick. And so, you know, it's these rookies learning in, and, you know, they got to get their big boy pants on and, you know, be ready to go for anything. Cause you know, they could be at any time put into that spot, and they need to hold that. They need to hold that spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, guys, let's kind of move into the broader, like, training camp reactions and more about the off season. Do you have any hot takes when it comes to Madden ratings, Zilla? What's your kind of reaction to Madden? Because there are a lot of people who found offense to some of the Rams players. I know personally, I just thought it was a little silly they didn't give Cooper Kupp a 99. It was unnecessary, but, you know. What's your take on the Madden ratings, if you have one?
So I frankly was more upset by Stafford's rating. I mean, his rating is quite low in comparison to his performance and what he's done, not just 1 year, but I mean, he's done it throughout his career. So that was definitely something that, you know, was frustrating. Definitely agree with you with Kupp. However, I will say this, the Rams have three players in the top 10. So, you know, you're seeing, of course, the greatest of all time, Aaron Donald at one, Cooper Kupp at five, and Jalen Ramsey at six. And there's no other team other than the Niners that have two in the top 10, and they have Trent Williams at four and George Kittle at 10. So, you know, I think there is some positive representation, but I could absolutely see Kupp there at a 99 for sure.
What's your take right now, Zach, on Tutu? Are you buying the hype, Zach? Are you buying the hype to the Tutu train?
I am not buying the hype, and that's, again, that's not a, I think he could be a great player, but we just haven't seen it yet. You know, he got injured early on in the season. His punt returns wasn't, you know, that's what he was brought in for. When you're brought into a high efficiency offense where, you know, at the time you had Cooper Kupp, you had Robert Woods, you had DeSean Jackson, you know, you had a good solid offense, and then, you know, your job coming in here is to learn and to grow, and you are now going to be put in as, you know, the punt returner, and then you get injured, and, you know, it's a real downside to him. But when you haven't seen a whole lot come out of him, I mean, we're not there at training camp, so we don't see it. The coaches see what the work that gets been brought in there. But when you come in and you watch this first game with McClutchinson and everything that he did in that period of time, I mean, that was just awesome. You know, he had, you know, the two touchdowns, 87 yards, 6 targets, 5 receptions, averaging 17.4 yards. So, you know, you have someone like that, and they're like, we're like, he's a fringe. Like, we don't even know if he's going to make it on the team. And, you know, we haven't really seen Tutu, you know, perform, but not saying that he can't be that person. I just think based on, you know, what we've seen so far, his injury, his size, I mean, he's not the biggest wide receiver out there. So being able to, you know, get those jump balls and, you know, be able to, you know, get in front of the, you know, the cornerback, to get the ball from a, you know, a toss up, you know, it's going to be challenging for him.
Yeah, you have kind of seen, like, McVay, he has been searching for that vertical, like, field stretcher, and yeah, we had it for a little bit when we had Cooks, but since then we haven't found that guy who can vertically stretch but also be like a good enough playmaker in the run game and doing moderate routes. Like, he's looking for a guy that can do a little bit of the, like, moderate routes, a little bit of the run game, but then also stretch the field. And Tutu hasn't shown that ability yet, especially because he cannot run block, and I don't think he'll be able to until he gains some weight. Not saying, like, he can't be effective doing a certain thing. He can. Like, I think he's going to end up being a decent kind of like slot player for just like going straight and maybe some slants and stuff like that. But in the long term, I just don't see him being very, very big key player in this offense. So do you guys want to go into Kendrick? I've already talked about him a little bit. Zach, what's your impressions of Kendrick? Darian?
No, I agree with everything that you were talking about. I mean, you know, him coming in and, you know, being that depth in that cornerback position, and then that will allow Ramsey to be more than just a normal corner. He's able to get back into that star position and be able to you know, transition a little bit into different spots. And so I'm loving the depth. I'm loving the ability to, you know, have a little bit more breathing room for, you know, even for Troy Hill.
Zach, really, you want to guess who just picked up a fumble?
Was it Rochelle?
Kendrick.
Oh, was it Kendrick?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, Rochelle caused the fumble. Yeah, Rochelle is also growing into a great player. Zilla, what's your take on Kendrick? Sure. How are you liking this rookie?
Sure, absolutely. Just so impressed. As you guys know, we brought in a truckload of defensive backs, whether through the draft or through free agency. And one of them, I mean, it was throwing darts at a dartboard. And you're just hoping that one of them balls out, and you know, Darian Kendrick absolutely has, Dakobe Durant has, but Darian Kendrick, a 6th round pick, guys. So we didn't give up a lot, and our scouting department has absolutely just crushed it. To pick up somebody that Ramsey himself has been praising is just absolutely impressive. And, you know, I really believe that the investment in the defensive secondary really tells the story of the NFL. It is a passing league, and we have a conference where, you know, the opposing teams have invested heavily in wide receivers, tight ends, the secondary, or excuse me, in the passing game, and we had to do something about it. So I absolutely love what Zach said. You know, this definitely puts us in a good position to allow Ramsey to do more than just simply, you know, lock up one guy. But I do love, you know, our secondary. You look at Ramsey, you look at Long, you look at Hill, you look at Rochelle, you look at Kendrick, you look at Dakobe Durant. I mean, man, those guys are absolutely awesome. And if you don't mind, let me jump back and just talk a little bit about Tutu, if you don't mind.
Yeah, definitely.
So I had the opportunity to actually watch some training camp, and he plays absolutely beyond his stature. He has strong, aggressive hands despite his size. He fights for the ball. He runs clean routes. And I think this offseason, he absolutely learned work ethic. He learned to work. Cooper Kupp talked about his focus this offseason, as did Allen. Both of them praised Tutu for his focus, which frankly, I do not believe he had his rookie season. But he has paid the price. I totally agree with you, gentlemen. He is a role player. I don't think he's an every down guy, but you give him the occasional jet sweep, you allow him to stretch the field on occasion, and I think you're going to get your money's worth for him.
Yeah, that work ethic thing is true, which we're not saying it is. We don't know. We weren't in the room. He is very lucky he was a second round pick, because a lot of people don't get that second chance in the NFL. Right. They get one opportunity, and if they're not a high enough pick, they are cut almost immediately. So it's like he got lucky there, and hopefully he takes full like advantage of the opportunity while he has it, because even second round picks don't make it long in the NFL if they aren't putting full effort, because there are not a lot of people who are talented enough to not work hard. And most of the people who make an NFL aren't just super talented. They work very hard to get where they are. Let me kind of switch back to Darian Kendrick, because I just want to say this is something Jordan Reig of The Athletic does a great job of kind of detailing through some of her articles, is how the Rams scouting department is so advanced with using analytics and using different measurables that they get from colleges and tracking GPS-wise, like how fast they are in-game versus just doing kind of the old-fashioned way of just going to the combine, looking at a 40 time, and then kind of eyeballing it. Not every team does that, but for most part, that's like the traditional scouting method. The Rams are very cutting edge when it comes to scouting, I believe. And that's why you constantly see Les Snead hit in the sixth round when a lot of teams are struggling in the first round.
No doubt.
Should we be concerned about the O-line and with Whitworth and Corbett gone? And I think, Zilla, you're a perfect person to ask this question, being a former lineman yourself. Yeah. How confident are you in this O-line? Because we had moments last year where we had the plug and play, but yeah, it's going to be different this time around with two people fully gone.
Yeah, fantastic question. I think Corbett was underrated. I think that position, trying to backfill that, is going to be tougher than people think. However, I do believe in Shelton. I do believe in Coleman Shelton. He has been in this offense for quite some time. He's a versatile, offensive lineman. He can play center. He can play guard, which is something that McVay covets. He can plug and play him, you know, across the line there, whether it's right side, left side, or in the middle. And I absolutely love Note Boom. And, you know, this is a very unpopular opinion, but I personally believe that Note Boom, with his age, where he's at currently, we may actually see some improved run blocking on that left side. Absolutely nothing against the Hall of Famer in Andrew Whitworth. However, age may have been inhibiting him and causing him possibly to struggle in that run game. And I've seen him just absolutely knock it out of the park. You look at how Noteboom played against the Buccaneers, you know, in the divisional playoffs, and he tore it up. And he wasn't going up against, it wasn't a cakewalk by any means. You know, the guys he was going up against were absolute ballers there on the defensive line for the Bucs. But as far as the, second tier guys, you are looking at Bruss, but I've been really impressed with Ankrum. I think he can plug and play there. If there's any issues there on the offensive line, you got our Curry who we picked up, late in the draft, and you have AJ Jackson who was a surprise, last year as well. So am I concerned? I'm always concerned about the trenches. We run the zone blocking scheme, and I will say last year our running attack was less than what I desired, and it wasn't just the running back's fault by any means. So I am concerned with replacing Corbett and replacing Whitworth. I do believe though with Stafford in his second year in this offense being able to call protections. You have Allen, who at center is making those protection calls as well on the line. So I think that we're in good hands, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see some struggle there at the beginning of the season.
So, Zach, are you more worried about the first stringer O-line, or are you more worried about the lack of depth for this O-line? Because I think it was a very, very big deal last year when Whitworth went down and we had a really good second string lineman. Honestly, one of the best, I think, last year for a second string lineman, having Joe Noteboom right there. What's your take on that? Is it a bigger issue replacing those two guys, or will it be the depth in the long term having to play through a 17-game season?
No, I think that's where the struggle is where, once you start losing, if you lose one person, you could probably, fit that in. Once you start losing two, if you happen to lose two, or you need to let them rest or something like that for a period of time, those are where you're going to find the problems, where the holes are starting to expand and go forward. The one good thing, and I would say the one good thing is that we do, like, Whitworth is still in the building. He's still there. He's attending all these trainings and helping. He's using his own personal gym to help out these offensive linemen who are either taking a spot or, even Logan Bruss is in his gym and being a mentor towards them. So I think that's super valuable. Now, if Whitworth was just done with the team and he retired and, moved wherever, I think we would even be in a worse position. But I will say the one thing the Rams do tend to use is they use their wide receivers as blockers too. So I'm not too concerned as a whole, but I can definitely see if the offensive linemen start to drop for whatever reason, I think we could see some problems, especially since it seems like we're so well positioned in depth in other areas that it's so weird that it's just our offensive line seems to not have the backup.
Yeah, I feel like they're almost going to plan to do that thing where they go in a heavy set if we lose a lineman and we have to put in a weaker lineman and kind of have like two tight ends in there, like what they did, I believe, middle of last year, or was it 2020 when we went very heavy set a few games? Yep. I think Jaguars, we did that.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and get to some listener questions. We have one for this week, and this comes from King KJ 1962. And he asks, how many Philly Rams NFL fans are there? Would love to see if we can organize a watch party for one of the games this year. Thank you for the question, King. To answer your question, I do not know. I live in Fredericksburg, Virginia. But I would post it out there, try to tag kind of Rams House and put it out there in the ether. I'm sure there are a lot of Rams fans in Philly. It kind of sucks the Rams don't play on the East Coast at all this year outside of Tampa.
Yeah, so I saw this come through as well, and the only people I know, and I think it's South Jersey. I think it's Philly or South Jersey, I think is what the SJ stood for. I know one half of the Ram brothers, they live in the Philly area. So I did comment back on that, just letting them know, and maybe our East Coast, you know, kind of Ramily that we can build will have some watch parties coming up.
Yeah, Dean and his dad definitely live in that area as part of the Ram brothers. So they're definitely our fans everywhere. I'm here in Utah, so we're everywhere.
Yeah, we might end up doing stuff in the future. That's definitely a goal of ours, is to start doing more stuff, like in-person stuff. I want to meet up with Zach eventually, but we haven't been able to make that kind of work out, especially this year, given like the Rams really don't travel much to the East Coast. So we'll get our own stuff going, and hopefully we can do a watch party or something, East Coast Rams, in 2 years or so as the pod grows. But a great question, and I appreciate you guys sending them in. Definitely send in anything else you have during the season, and we'll try to feature it here.
So the only thing that I'll add to this is that I'll be at the I'll probably mention this again at some point, but I'll be at the preseason game to the Cincinnati Bengals. So if any Rams fans are out there and wants to meet up there, that'd be pretty awesome. I'm gonna try to hunt down that throne that they made and try to sit on it. I might get kicked out of the stadium, but I'm gonna make it happen.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm sure no one will be salty seeing that Super Bowl patch on your jersey. Let's go ahead and kind of break down and make this next segment kind of about you, Ramzilla. Current listeners will know our last few episodes. We have been doing previews of all the games, and we have done games 1 through 8 up to, I believe, the Buccaneers game. Can you kind of break down for us, Ramzilla, and it can be as detailed as you want, but where you think at week 10, where you think the Rams will be, or week 9? Are they, like, what's going to be their general record? What's your general feeling of how this team's going to be kind of jiving at that point? Because it is a pretty hard schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a first-place schedule, without a doubt. I'm a little bit more of a realist or a pessimist than others. I do see us at 5-3 at that point. I do see us potentially losing week 1 to the Bills, week 4 to the Niners, at the Niners on Monday night, and then coming off that bye, losing to the Buccaneers at the Buccaneers. So those are the three losses that I would protect. Again, I'm a little bit more of a pessimist or a realist there, but look, McVay hasn't lost a home opener ever, or lost an opener for that matter. So I could see us coming out and absolutely, you know, taking care of the Bills, but they're no joke, as we know. They've definitely loaded up, and they're, to use the horrible phrase, all in. They're definitely all in, without a doubt. And they have a great team and a great coaching staff. So I could see that happening. And then the Niners, look, it doesn't matter if they're the worst team in the NFL. It's Rams Niner week, and they're absolutely going to bring it. And in addition to that, there is absolutely some Let's put it, some competition between Shanahan and McVay. And so Shanahan absolutely doesn't want to lose to his, you know, his kid brother, so to speak. And I will say this, whether it's Trey Lance or Jimmy G or whoever comes off the bench, their special teams are fantastic. Their defense is great. It's improving. Their line is great. Their run game is great. They may not even have to rely on, you know, Trey, you know, to pass the ball. But that, you know, they give us struggles, obviously, there in San Francisco. And then the Buccaneers, you know, coming off that bye, that could be a challenge as well. But anyway, yeah, so I see us at 5-3 at that mark. And hopefully we can change that to, you know, 7-1 or even 6-2.
Mm-hmm. And if we can get fourth quarter Stafford for every one of those full games, then we would definitely be 8-0.
No doubt.
In my dream fantasy world.
No doubt.
But let's move on to week 10. And since we know where you're at, I had the Rams basically being 6-2 after 9 weeks. And Zach, I believe you had us at, what record did you have?
Oh man, I wish you were on it and had my record for me. I do not remember. I was pretty much perfect if it wasn't a perfect record. 7-1, because I think I might have said the Bucks lost as though they were going to lose to the Bucks as well. I think,
yeah.
But now we don't know where Tom Brady is, so who knows how that's all going to work out. But
Tom. Anyways, Brady, we retired again.
Every time we discuss the game, I never pick what the score is until we actually go in and discuss the game, and I always just talk myself into it. It's a beatable game. We can totally win. And that's how we get to this almost perfect record.
Well, Zach, I would much prefer you be right and me be wrong than anything. But let's kind of talk about week 10. This is the second game against the Cards and the last game against the Cards. It's at home. Let's go ahead and get your more initial thoughts, Ramzilla. You have the Rams beating the Cards the first game, correct?
Yes.
So in the second game, what's the key factors for you and with how the Rams perform having Arizona come at home?
Yeah. I mean, look, at that point, it's the middle of the season. You know, there could be potential injuries. You got backups that are now thrust into the starting role. So your depth is really, you know, coming to play there. But I'm confident, and we want some revenge against the Cardinals at home during the regular season. Last year, obviously, you know, that first game at home against them, you know, they took it to us. This year, I think we do sweep the Cardinals. And you know, by then Hopkins is probably back. I think he is back by then. But again, the improvement of our secondary, I think we're in good hands there, but I do see us winning, and my score is actually going to be 35-24.
35-24. Yeah, in this game, they will get back. D-Hop will be back. So that will be a big difference between the first and second game. Zach,
but to me, when it comes to our cornerbacks, you know, we have that depth that I'm not really too scared. I mean, if we have to put Ramsey on him, we put Ramsey on him. If we have to put, you know, Hill on him, we'll put Hill on him. I'm not really care, because, you know, Hopkins, if you remember the last games when he was in, you know, he tried to run down to the, like, he tried to trick Ramsey into like running down the other side of the field. And, you know, sometimes Darius Williams wasn't always up. You know, a lot of times it was Darius Williams trying to go up against Hopkins, which, you know, Darius Williams is great, but Hopkins sometimes was a little bit better. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm terrified of Zach Ertz. He's a really good tight end, and you know, when it comes to the middle of the field, the Rams have always kind of struggled when they hit that safety area and just tried to, you know, making that tackle. And that's my worry. I still think they're going to win. And especially with Murray, I don't know. You never know which Murray is going to come out and play. So I'm going to go with them winning as well. I would probably say it would be probably 20-30 Rams win. So 30-20, if I actually say it correctly.
I don't feel like the problem with this Cardinals team is their roster. I think they have a talented roster, pretty good young secondary. I think the issue is coaching. I really do think a mixture of Kyler Murray not being – I don't think he is mature enough, realizing that, like, some stories have came out that he hasn't prepared enough and he hasn't put in enough homework, especially in the second half of the season when defenses start adjusting to their scheme. I think that is partially on the coach for not adjusting and not making sure his players are ready. So I have no faith in Cliff Kingsbury at all. And I think it's hurting Murray, and I think Murray is hurting himself a little bit too, because you have to put in all the work, and if you don't, it's like Ramzilla will say, like he knows firsthand experience. If you don't put in the work to learn the scheme in the playbook, it's gonna hurt you on the field. Score wise, I'll say 24 Rams, 23 Cardinals. I say we have a close game, but we pull it out in the last second with a field goal. So kind of like a grit your teeth type of win. So after that, week 11, we visit a familiar foe, a Rams at Saints. I believe this is the first time back to Mercedes-Benz, or I think it's Caesars now, the Caesars Dome, since the infamous NFC Championship. Ramzilla, how you think this matchup is going to go for the Rams?
Man, I think this is a sneaky one. And I don't
know. Yeah, this trap game. This definitely could be a trap game.
Absolutely. And I don't think they'll be shocked or surprised. I don't think anybody will go into it thinking that they're, you know, going to win or overconfident. I just think that the Saints have really built, aside from their quarterback, they've really developed and really built a strong, strong defense, a strong offensive line, a strong backfield, strong tight ends. You know, Winston's got a lot of support around him, especially with the return of, you know, Thomas at wide receiver. I do think that, you know, Allen is a good coach. He's a defensive minded guy, and he's no joke. He's definitely faced McVay before. I could see us losing this one, guys. And I'm going to say, actually, we lose this 20-14.
20-14. So you kind of have a slugfest there.
I do.
What about you, Zach? Do you think the Saints team can rebound from losing their head coach and losing players like Teron Armstead? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I could definitely see this being a trap game, but you know, I look and McVay is so good on the road, you know, and I really think that they can pull this one off. I think the next game will be a struggle. If they win this one, it kind of goes back and forth. I don't think they can't win all of these games, and there's going to be some that they're going to lose. And so I think that they could lose this one for the trap portion of it, but I think they could beat this one out and then they will come back to lose this one. So for this one, I'm going to say they're going to continue their win streak, as I have it, and they are going to, I would probably say 24-17. I think it could be close, but I do think the Rams will squeak this one out.
Yeah, your legend or your man, Andy Dalton from the Cincinnati Bengals, is now on the Saints. So real force of nature there that we have to worry about. Yeah, the Saints, I feel like their defense was very underrated last year. I don't know how their offense is going to do losing Sean Payton. I really don't. And honestly, Jameis Winston, we'll see if he can rebound after his injury. They got Jarvis Landry and they got Chris Olave. I'm really big on Chris Olave. I think he's going to be great. But it doesn't mean he's going to be an instant superstar in the NFL. And I think he's going to struggle a little bit his first year. Yeah, I think the Rams have a comfortable win here. I think they win 43-27. I really think they kind of start to separate themselves in the third quarter, and they just let the Saints score in garbage time afterwards. So I'm seeing a comfortable win there. Not that the Saints aren't a good team. They are a good team, but sometimes good teams, kind of like the Rams in 2019, they weren't a bad team by any means, but they got blown out by the Ravens when they were electric. And I think it'll be a similar type of kind of great game by the Rams. So a match I've been waiting for a few years, and I'm hoping it sells or it's nearly as good as the last game, because it is the last game between the Rams and Chiefs was honestly the best game I have ever watched NFL-wise ever. I remember watching that game, what I was wearing, where I was, me and my wife reacting to individual plays. It's such a unique game in Rams history, one that will definitely go down. Zach, how do you think the second meetup in the last few years for Sean McVay's Rams will do against Andy Reid's Chiefs and Mahomes?
Well, this, again, this gets very interesting. Now, if they still had Tyreek Hill, this would be I think it would be a different game than what they're going to come up against. I think this is going to be very close, and I think it actually will be sort of high scoring game. I mean, we've seen it time and time again when Mahomes goes up against any kind of a good team. It's a pretty good show to watch. I remember that exact same game. I don't think it could ever top that. But I do think that this is a close game. By this point, I probably should have looked at Kansas City's record or at their schedule when it comes to this, because it always depends on their schedule too. If they have a short week or a long week or whatever. But I will say that they are going to lose this game. The Rams will lose this game. But it's going to be 35-34.
35-34.
I think the Chiefs somehow get like a 2-point conversion, or they get something that just pushes them just at the edge.
So you had the Rams losing.
I do have the Rams losing.
Okay. Chiefs. What's your reaction to that game, Ramzilla? And do you think it's an issue, the Chiefs losing Tyreek Hill and Tyron Matthew? I can't say his first name, save my life. I think they lost a good amount of big players on their team. Do you think they're going to still be the cream of the crop of the AFC West, or are they going to struggle next year?
I don't. That is, quickly become the toughest division, frankly. You have the Raiders picking up a new coach and, of course, arguably the best receiver in the NFL. You have the Chargers, who, again, on paper, are just disgusting with respect to all the goods they have. But I do believe the Rams pick up a win. I was actually there in person on the front row on about the 40-yard line, and it was an absolute, just one of the dreams of all dreams to be there and watch that game in person.
That's a lifetime memory.
It was a lifetime memory, and forever we'll have that memory.
Probably would have had a panic attack.
Oh, man.
Oh, I remember looking – there's not many games where I remember looking at the clock, seeing 40 seconds left, and being like, that's too much time. Like, there's – like, Mahomes is going to score. With 40 seconds on the clock and them not having any timeouts. And even when we had the ball and they had timeouts and there was, like, not a lot of time left, like a minute and 10, I was like, there's too much time. Like, I didn't feel comfortable until it was double zeros.
Yeah.
Wild game.
Wild game. Absolutely wild game. The last, of course, few minutes were, I about had a heart attack. Now, moving forward and thinking about this year, so Kansas City is actually going to come off of a road game against the Chargers.
The Chargers, so
tough battle. And then
they pulled that up.
Ooh. Yeah, and then they face the Rams at home. So, you know, they could be coming off of a loss. They might be coming off of a strong, you know, hard-fought win. But I do think that the Rams pull this out. And I'm going to say, actually, that we score 38 points and they put up 27. So somewhat close, but I think that we take care of business.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you, Ramzilla. They are not winning their division this year. I think that's going to be the Chargers. I just don't see them losing big players like Tyreek Hill and Tyrann Mathieu and being up and replacing them with, Juju Smith-Schuster, he's not going to do it. I like Valdes-Scantling, but he's no Tyreek Hill. Like, I think he's going to replace Tyreek Hill a little bit, but like those big splash plays that the Chiefs used to rely on after their defense just gets shredded, I don't think you're going to get the same quantity as you got with Tyreek Hill with Scantling. And so it's going to be where you see, I think this year, they're going to have like the 9th or 10th best offense versus having a top 5 offense. And I think that means they're going to lose a lot of those close games. And I think this is going to be one of those close games along with Zach. And I have the Rams winning 40 to 35. I think it's going to be definitely a pretty high-flying game. Not as big as last time, but I think it's going to be a fun one to watch.
Nice.
I'm kind of relenting there because let's talk about the Seahawks because, you know, they kind of a train wreck of off-season. Zach, what do you think of the Seahawks coming into this year in the first game for the Rams facing the Seahawks at home?
Oh, man. The problem is that I could see this as something the Rams face in like 3 to 4 years where all of a sudden we lose everybody. And that's kind of how it kind of feels with them. I mean, they still have Metcalf, and he's going to he's going to be a threat, but is he going to be a threat by, you know, Drew Lock? Probably not. So I'm not really super worried about these two games. I probably should be because I said that, but they're in a rebuilding phase.
Like we lost to the winless Jets. Okay. I don't know why you're freaking out.
Okay. Yeah. So anyways, I'm going to say that they're going to destroy them. And I will say this is going to be a, I'm going to say a 30-17.
Yeah, I'm sorry to reopen the PTSD for you, Zach. Ramzilla, I know Drew Locke puts just the fear of God in you. So what's your reaction to this matchup?
Yeah, look, they are a divisional opponent. They know us. You know, Pete Carroll knows us. Our, you know, former offensive coordinator is their offensive coordinator. So there is some familiarity. But personally, I think that the Seahawks are going to just try to ground and pound. They are just going to try to run the ball. And that's an area where if teams absolutely commit to it, the Rams can struggle. However, having said that, we're just too much. It's going to be 28-10. We win, and it's not that big of a struggle.
Mm-hmm. Zach, I know you say we're going to destroy them. So, what margin will it be at?
Well, I put 35-17 or 30-17, 30-17. I think it could be a little bit less, but I think they might get lucky and, you know,
score.
They'll score one. They'll score two in a field goal. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, Drew Locke will be just completely destroying us. And that would be our luck too, because we've been great against the Seahawks team. Our record would be similar to the one against the Cardinals if it wasn't for that stupid game we lost because of a missed field goal when we had I think that's Greg Zuerlein. Greg Zuerlein's last year just missing that random 30-yard field goal for the win that ended up causing us miss the playoffs too. So I definitely think we have their number, and this is the worst Seahawks team, in my opinion, that the Rams have ever faced. So I definitely think we're going to win this comfortably. I have us winning 37-14. So, pretty comfortable win.
And I think this is our last, well, other than the last Seahawks game, our next four games after this, I know we're not going to talk about that this week. Well, we have one more week to discuss the rest of the games, but we are in a sludge fest, for the next four of the five games. And, I don't think it's going to look super pretty.
Well, I mean, but the good thing about that is, and I'll get your opinion on this, Ramzilla, what do you think the fact that we get almost all of our divisional games over that early? Because it typically, at least in the last 5 years, it's been entirely backloaded with the divisional games. Sometimes we'll have one or two early in the year, but for the most part, they leave at least four for the last six or seven. And this year, it's the complete opposite. It's only two in the last seven, and it's the Seahawks, which are the worst. So it's kind of a gift on that back half of the season.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that there are some advantages and disadvantages. So one advantage is hopefully you're healthier, you know, earlier in the season. If you are going to have injuries, usually, you know, you have some injuries towards the end of the season. You're not going to sneak up on, you may sneak up on somebody there at the beginning of the season, whereas at the end of the season, you have more tape, you have more tendencies on what your opponent's going to do. But again, you know, McVay knows these guys, knows them well. I think that, yeah, playing your division early, and definitely if we're able to, you know, sweep both the Cardinals and the Seahawks and split games with the Niners, I think that puts us in a great position to win the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think that's a And it all, and it, you know, we play this guessing game when, you know, of all these picks, but, you know, there could be injuries along the way that could be beneficial for us, that could be hurtful for us. We never really know until that week comes. So that is awesome. Anybody else want to have any final thoughts before we wrap things up for tonight? No? Awesome. All right, so let's wrap up this episode of the East Coast Rams podcast. You can always send questions and feedback to feedback@eastcoastrams.com or hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think about our predictions, and you can give us your own. Our official Twitter account is @EastCoastRams, but you can also find Ashton @RamsFanAshton1 and myself @ZachMayer. Big shout out to our special guest, Ramzilla. You can follow him at ELITSTER. And you want to tell anything you want to promote while you're on?
No, listen, we're all Rams fans. We're all Ramily. Let's go Rams. There's nothing better than one Super Bowl except for two Super Bowl wins. So let's get another one, guys.
Awesome. Well, it was really great having you on. We really appreciate your insight. You know, your comments on how you feel the team is going to work. And, you know, we're definitely going to have to get you back on soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
But yeah, big thanks to everyone else who listens to the pod and interacts with us. You can always, it's you all are why we continue to do this. Please take a couple minutes to like, review, and share this podcast with fellow Rams fans or really any football fan. We'll take, you know, even, you know, our enemies, even the 49ers fans, you can come listen to our pod. But that will wrap it up. And whose house? Rams house.